You can't equate me with Sister Teresa and all these people, Dr. Schweitzer. These were really truly great souls. I mean, they sacrificed everything that they had for these people. But I have not sacrificed anything. I mean, I learn a lot from these people. So they have done a lot for me rather than me doing anything for these people.
So well, you have plenty of time.
Pardon me?
You have plenty of time to do it.
I haven't been doing it up till now. I mean, I'm just... These people have been offering me a vast field of experience.
Mm-hmm.
But how I might use that experience is later, to come later. But so if there's any questions you may ask, and if I'm reminded of some instances, then I can...
That's your earliest
friend. I was going to say, sorry to begin.
My earliest, I really can't remember. The first thing that I can remember of Baba was when I was about maybe 5-6 years old. And at that time he used to come to my aunt's place in Bombay. Annavas Dalachandri was the name. See, and that was in the 1950s. And Baba looked like just the picture behind what you have there, right? At that time, see? And that's when I remember seeing Baba, and I remember him. This is my earliest recollection of Baba. And he would be there, he would be just a small child. I don't know what God is and what... But my mother used to take us there, used to say Baba is God. So I don't know what God is, but I see my mother bowing down before Baba. So I just stand there, so she puts my hand down, I bend my head down for him, so I bow down. And then he starts playing with children like he plays with any other children. He used to throw the sweets. Have you seen those movies?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then at that time he used to play with his fingers, you see. Baba used to make some gestures with his ten fingers, and it would be so fast that it would be like a wheel moving. You see, you just could see the outline of it. You couldn't see the fingers, individual fingers. So as a child, you tried to imitate. So I'd be sitting in a corner, figuring out what he's doing and trying to do that. So he would see me. You see, so he would call me. He says, "No, you see." Then he would do it in slow motion. And so that I can remember. You see. Then he, at that time, Baba had, remember once, there was a time when he used to have a lot of these soft drinks. And if he liked to have orange soda, he would have orange soda, you see, one after the other. It wouldn't be orange or lemonade or something like that, just orange. So he had a couple of bottles kept beside him. So my attention is not on Baba, but on the orange soda, you see. Or if someone brings Baba a nice apple. So I'm all the time waiting for it, Baba, for the leave the room so I can get the apple. So he would sometimes give the apple, he would sometimes give the soda, he would have a soda and then give the remnant of it. But then he would ask me, you see, when I was, said, "You love your mother, don't you?" I said, "Yes, yes, Baba." He said, "You love your daddy too, right?" "Yes." "But you love your mommy more than your daddy." So he would give the answer, you see, he would put a direct question, you see, he wouldn't want me to answer. He said, "But you love your mother more than your daddy." So I would say yes, I'd go along. He says, "Do you love me?" So now my mother is standing there, you see. She's nodding to me, "Say yes, why are you standing there?" So I would say yes, but then she would say, "But you like your mother more than you like me, right?" So my mother is now is so Baba said, "Yes, go on, say what you want to say." So I would say, My mother is staying, you know, with those. So then I would just say, yes, Baba, I like. So he would be very happy, you see. Okay. Baba would be like a spoiled child, you see. You just do something that the child likes.
Yeah.
It beams up. So then I would get my apple or whatever I wanted, you see. But I had no way of understanding what Baba meant when he said that he was God or he was the highest of the high or whatever. Mm. Baba was just like a wonderful warm person. It just was much, much later that I could understand what he was trying to say. I mean, some of the things he said I don't even understand now, but to accept him, that is what's the most important thing. Not the understanding, but the acceptance came later on. To accept Baba for what he says he is, came much later on. But he was a wonderful friend, just it's the most, at that time, Baba was like another person. To a child, mm-hmm. Baba was not God, Baba was not the master. He was just another person to whom the child could relate with like a child. So Baba related to you like a child. So if you relate with this little kid as another 1 year old, the child will start playing with you. But if you relate with it like an adult, it will withdraw from you, you see, this stranger. So Baba could relate to a child like a child. So that was my earliest recollection. My parents knew of Baba before that, and naturally when they went to Baba, they took me along also, but I have no recollections. I was Rabia's age when I first met Baba, but I have no recollections of that. That is just hearsay, stories from what I hear from my mother, my aunt, and so forth. Things like that I remember.
Yeah.
When I was talking to you, I said I don't relating to Baba as another child or a friend, but the acceptance came later on. One day, I was about 16 years old, in 1965. And I was in my last year of high school. And in the summer months, we used to be in Guru Prasad, where Baba used to be in Pune, spend his time from April to June in Guru Prasad. And we would be there, because we would be getting our vacation at that time, and we'd be staying in a hotel just two buildings away from Guru Prasad. That was... you know where Guru Prasad is, that building there?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. A huge palace. It's a beautiful, majestic palace. So, we used to be there in the summer months. We had our vacations, we used to go there and stay there. And Baba, whenever he used to call, used to go. So one day, and this would go on from 57 to 65. 57, Baba, I think, was the first time we went to Pune. 57 to 65 is about 8 years. Every year we used to go to Pune in the summer months. So, but this year, what he did was, we used to play those cards, the game of Lares. Baba used to play a game of cards. Are you acquainted with that game, Lares? It's a unique game in which the rules were made and broken by Baba himself, you see. And everyone else was supposed to play with the utmost honesty and no cheating. Except, of course, the rules did not apply to Baba. He could cheat galore, you see. And that was, his privilege. And the game would become very boring if he didn't do any such thing like that. just to divert a little bit, is sometimes there would be 5, 10 people, sometimes there would be 40 people. 40 people in a room. This room would be about tent size, about much bigger than this room, four times the size of this room. There'd be 40 people sitting in a circle, Baba at the head. And if Baba is sitting here, then Peggy would be in the team opposite Baba, Andy would be in Baba's team, you see, and so forth. So the team which lost had to rub the nose on the carpet. So what they would sit down on this besides Baba, and then they would just stoop forward and rub the nose in the carpet. So I never played cards. I was not interested in cards. So I never played. So I would sit on the periphery outside and watch the others play. It was only the men play. Baba didn't play cards with the women. So I didn't. He was not the women's league. He didn't believe in that. I guess he didn't let the women play cards with him. So one day he said, "Why don't you join in?" So I said, "I don't know to play, Baba." He says, "Why don't you learn?" So I used to sit besides Merji and Pendu and Pendu didn't used to play. Merji and my grandfather. My grandfather used to always sit. He would try to get a seat just next to Baba or on the team opposite to Baba. He would never want to be on Baba's team. So this poor man, by the end of the day, would have a red nose, you see. By rubbing nose on the ground, he would have a red nose. It would be shining like a Rudolph, the reindeer, you know. So one day I said to him, said, "Grandpa," says, "why do you have to be the opposite team, you see? Look at your nose." The poor man would be going home sniffing, you know. I said, "All you have to do is be in Baba's team and you don't have to rub the nose, you know. Every day." And the others would just rub the nose just once and that's it, you see. One this way, one that way, and that's it. But this man would rub. Every time he's the last one, he's still rubbing. Everyone is up and he's still rubbing the nose. So I was watching that. This time the opportunity came and I told him, I said, what's the matter with you? So he looked at me very, he said, you stupid boy, he said, you think you're telling me what I should do? My grandfather is telling me. He says, do you have any idea how fortunate it is to be able to rub your nose in front of the master? He said, it's very, very, it's, you have no idea, he said, wherein the loser becomes the winner, you see. When you play a game with the master and you are the loser, you are the winner, you see. If you lose, you become the winner. See, this is the game. And so you are telling me what I should do. So I kept quiet. He was right. See, at that time I didn't realize it. Later on I read the story about Rumi, you know. Rumi, Maulana Rumi, when he got his realization, he used to play chess with his master. I forget the name of his master, Shams. So all the time Shams used to beat Rumi. So Rumi just used to play the game with the master just to please him, to humor him, although he knew he would lose every day. Every day the master would want him to play the game and he would play just to keep the master happy, because he would know the master would beat him in a couple of moves. The master beat him. So one day he was tired and day was weary, so he says, "Come on, let's play the game again." So he plays, and he says, what's the use of playing with you? If I am to lose every day, what's the sense? You should get a better opponent, you know? So at that time his master Shams said, "No, Rumi, this time you have won." And so that moment he got God realization, that Rumi got God realization. Wherein the loss, Rumi's loss was really his gain, his victory. So this, my grandfather trying to tell me the same thing. He's so fortunate to be able to rub the nose. So then how it all started was that people used to throw the cards down on the, Baba would sit there. When you're sitting down here, you throw the cards. You deal cards and then you throw the cards down the ground, and so the there would be another youngsters would collect the cards, shuffle it and deal the cards, starting with Baba. So now, like Baba's team is losing, Baba's teammates would urge him, Baba, what is the matter? You're losing. Have pity on our noses, you see? So then Baba would say, all right, who's got the ace of hearts? Or who's got the ace of spades? Now suppose his opponent has it. Give me that ace. And Baba would give him some lower card. Then he'll say, all right, who's got the king of spades? Oh, again his opponent. So give me your king. Then he would say, all right, no more, this is my game, Laris. He would say, it's my game. And then he would throw all his cards down. So he would take the cards from his opponents and make them rub the noses. But only Baba could do that, you see. If you were sitting down and just had a slight peek in the other man's cards, he would go wild on you. He says, you're cheating. And here he is asking the cards from his opponents. So that was his prerogative. That was fun, you see, when he did it, it was fun. So what happened was, I used to shuffle, you know. One day Baba's team was losing and Baba was not cheating. So what I did was, see, the cards are thrown down with the face up, so you see what the cards are. So I take an ace and put it down here. And then they pick up some more cards and then pick up a king and put it underneath that. No one observes that, you see. And then I keep shuffling just the top parts. The ace, the king, or whatever, the good hands are the right down. I'm just shuffling the top part. And the last shuffle is when I bring it up and put that on the right, on the top. Now the first deal is always to Baba. You always serve Baba first and then the rest. So I would give Baba the ones which I wanted him to get, you see. And then proceed to serve the other people. I would come to about, say, you, Baba would say, no, don't deal. That's a very nice hand I got. And he would throw the cards down and says, now you rub the noses and you make the others rub the noses. So it happened once. Then I would not cheat the second time. Give him the cards and all it. Again, the third time I would give the cards the way I wanted it to get. So he asked me, he said, are you doing it? Are you sure you're shuffling? I said, yes, but I'm shuffling. So that's not a lie, I'm shuffling, everyone is seeing I'm shuffling. He said, this is good, very good. He says, good, what a nice shuffle he gives. Then once he caught me, he said, you see, he says, are you shuffling all right? I said, yes, Papa, yes, nice shuffling. He says, but you're cheating, right? Said, yes, once in a while I get it. So then you did this. Yeah, at least you.
But he took it into the
open. Yeah, yes. Then I learned the game, started playing the game. But I always enjoyed my job as the guy who would collect the cards, you see, and so that was more enjoyable than actually playing the game. But when I played, I got a couple of chances to rub my noses, you see, that's about it. What was I talking about before this card game?
Your earliest recollection of
that. No, yeah, yeah. Yeah, so indeed, yeah, right. So in that one day after the card game, everything was quiet. All of a sudden, his moods would change also, you see. Like it's sunshine now, and all of a sudden there's a cloud, and it's gloomy and starts to rain. This is just like that. He's quiet. When he's quiet, everyone else is quiet. You're trying to suppress your breath sounds also, you see, if that makes a noise. So we're all sitting down there, I'm sitting down on the carpet. All of a sudden he looks at me and he says, there were other people in the room, you see. He says, I am God, he says. I am God. This was a sign for God. So first I thought, is he telling me or is he telling someone in the... I said, yes, Baba. He says, I am 100% God, he said. Did this, 100% God. He says, never doubt that. And he said it, this, he said that, never doubt it. I'm 100% God. There is no doubt about it. And the funny thing was, I said, yes, Baba, I accept you to be so. The thing is, I never doubted it for a moment, you see. And yet he is addressing me. So I'm constantly thinking in my mind, is he addressing someone else in this room and making me the object through which he's addressing that person? You see, sometimes he would be mad at this person, and he would be, suppose this person has done something wrong, right? So he would be mad at this person, and he would sometimes even assault that person. And that person is flabbergasted. He's, what have I done? I've done nothing, you see. But that person who has done that wrong, at once knows about it, that this guy is getting the brunt of it, but it was my fault. He knows that way. So I'm thinking maybe it's something like that, or it's just me, something happening to me later on in life, the circumstance might come where I might doubt if what Baba said was what he said. So he's driving it into my mind, but he said that to me. And I never really doubted Baba whatever he said. I guess the greatest gift Baba has given his lovers, or those people who accept Baba, is the gift of that acceptance. That I feel is the greatest gift. We actually love is his gift to us. Love is the gift of God to man. So by our loving Baba, it's just a reflection of what he has given us. But the greatest gift I feel is that to be able to accept Baba as what he says he is. Because if truly that wasn't the gift, then every person that you would see would be able to accept Baba. Why is it that you accept him and not the person who is next to you, or the third person on the street? Why is it so? Why is it that you accept Baba for what he says he is, and not accept the other guy who stands up on the platform and proclaims to the world that he is God? There are many people, such people in this world today, who say that they are God. But what makes you single out Baba? That I consider to be the greatest gift of our being able to accept him. Without demanding or asking for proofs or understanding of that. So this was something which stuck very much into my mind, you know. All the while I accepted Baba as a child and as something as a very warm person. Now the time had come to accept him as God. He said he was the highest of the high. He always, my father's family never believes in Baba. He says, they have said everything for Baba, which was anything. He says, well, I can accept if he says he's a holy man, he's a spiritual man, he's a saint. But how can he ever call himself God? And Baba, on the other hand, he makes no beans about it. He says, either you accept me as the highest of the high, or you accept me as just a friend, just another friend that you relate with. But one thing I tell you I am not, is that I am nothing in between. I am not a saint, I am not a wali, I am not a peer, I am not this, I am not that. So don't fool yourself by saying that I am this, I am that. Either you accept me as a friend. And that's very simple. If you can't accept a person as God, accept him as a friend. But don't fool yourself and kid around by saying that, well, I accept you as a saintly person, or I accept you as a spiritual person. I'm nothing in between. Well, now, the funny thing is, they had the opportunity of meeting Baba in the person, my father's side of the family. But they never did accept Baba. Baba dropped his body, and now they're interested in Baba. See, at that time, they had the goal of saying things which were totally untrue about Baba, trying to. They never accepted Baba at that time. In fact, they were trying to draw my father away from Baba. You see, my father didn't know about Baba until he met my mother. And when they saw that the children also were being drawn to Baba, and so was my dad. My dad was the favorite of his family. He was the youngest son, and he was the favorite of with his brothers and sisters and his parents. And when they saw that my dad's name was Jamshed, but everyone called him Jim. So when he is being drawn to Baba, they didn't like that. So they were trying to draw him away from Baba by saying rotten things about Baba. But it backfired. The more they would say things against Baba, the more my dad got attracted to Baba. So much so that then he all of a sudden found himself, when he himself wasn't sure whether he was accepting Baba as what he said he is. Here he is defending Baba. Here he is fighting against his own family for Baba, and that gives him thought. He says, wait a minute. See, here I am fighting against whatever they're saying, and I'm defending Baba. And he felt very much attracted to Baba. And now, what happened later on is just history. He loved Baba very much, but his entire family was trying to draw him away from Baba. And here was my mommy, who never forced Baba upon that. And because she knew. You know, if you force something down, there is more resistance. You just let it be, and if it is... Because what happened was, you see, when my mom and dad were moving together, you know, they were courting each other. So naturally, the topic of Baba came into question. And my dad asked, my mother told my dad, he said, whatever we do in the family is we ask Baba for permission. And if he says yes, we do it. If he says no, we don't do it. So my dad, he says, suppose, if you have to get married, will you ask his permission? He says, of course. So suppose he says no, will you still not marry me? He said, of course not. So when my mother said that, he knew that my mother meant business, you know. So then he let my mother do whatever she wanted to do, and my mother let my dad do whatever he wanted to do. So they went to a honeymoon to Bhambleshwar. That's the funny thing. The other funny thing is, before that, you see, they met in May or something. They started courting each other in May. And then, once they decided that they like each other, Baba was notified. He says, Rhoda has found a boy, his name is so-and-so. So they're asking Baba of permission to get married. Now, Baba has not even seen this man. So Baba says, I like this boy very much. They should get married. And they should get married in August. Now, you see, it's even by Western standards, that's fast. I've heard of those super ones that meet today and get married tomorrow, but this was, this is fast. Anyway, so what happened was, now it's an odd situation, you know. My mother has to tell my dad, listen, he said yes to get married, but now we have to get married in August. And they're wondering, what's the matter, why is she wanting to rush me? My Baba did say that if you don't get married in August, then I'm not responsible if it don't work out later on. So that the same thing was told to my dad. So dad now went to his family and said, listen, I'm getting married to this girl and I want to get married in August. Now, in August, no one gets married in Bombay. Bombay, these 4 months, you never marry. July, August, September, October, you never get married. because you won't get married because it's all raining all the time. See, you usually they have marriages outside, you know, on this big open places where they eat and feast and enjoy. So in the 4 months, they stay at home. You see, they go out or do whatever they have to do and stay at home. And then come November, December and the spring, everyone gets married. So it's very unusual to get married at that time. And here is my dad, he insists. He told his family, listen, I'm getting married in August. Now they were very happy for dad to get married because he was 35, 30 and no indication of getting married. So he was having a nice time. Dad was having a nice time. The rest of his brothers and sisters had got married and settled down. Dad showed no indication of getting married. So my grandfather moved to a smaller place with 2 rooms. He says, you're never going to get married, so why to have a big house? He went into a smaller place.